The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle, or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th. So hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. It's about 22 past the hour. So anyway, Senator Byron Dorgan, Democrat of North Dakota, who tried to get this reimportation proposal to the floor the other night, and the Obama administration, through the Food and Drug Administration head, Margaret Hamburg, warned of significant safety concerns, getting drugs from Canada. Because if you take a look north of the border, you'll see Canadians are dropping dead all over the place. Oh, my God, they're winding up in ICUs. They're winding up brain damage because of all the poison drugs they're taking. Have you noticed? So one after the other, the drug industry's friends in the Senate went to the floor last night to cite that letter from Margaret Hamburg, written with the approval and encouragement of Barack Obama. For example, Robert Menendez, Democrat, Bristol-Myers Squibb, warned that, quote, you may have a heart attack, end quote, because of counterfeit medicine from abroad. Frank Lautenberg, Democrat, Merck, said this is a matter of life and death. Senator Kay Hagan, a Democrat, GlaxoSmithKline, voiced serious doubts that we can adequately ensure the safety of the drug supply. Senator Carper, a Democrat, you notice these are all Democrats. AstraZeneca cited, quote, remaining safety and soundness and health concerns, end quote. Son of a bitch. Some of you people are still going to vote Democrat, huh? Okay. Now, the arguments don't hold very well, considering that 40% of the active ingredients in American prescription drugs come from India and China. Oh, my God. And China, of course, when was it? Was it a year ago? They slipped tainted heparin past the FDA. Remember that? Heparin, blood thinner, made out of pig's intestines. Did you see those pictures? Huh? Pig's intestines, just rotted, decaying, filth that was processed in these factories in China. You know what the factories for heparin in China are? Somebody's goddamn kitchen, some mud hut, some old woman standing around, you know, smoking a cigarette and dropping ashes into the pig guts that then becomes becomes heparin. And these sons of bitches are telling us about the drugs from Canada. But fear was the best argument that opponents, Democrats for the most part, could use to defeat this proposal that would have saved the federal government $20 billion over 10 years, not to mention how much it would save suckers like you and me. We would have saved many times that. And you're still going to vote Democratic? Are you serious? Anyway, back to Dana Milbank, who writes, that's why the drug industry has been fighting for a decade against congressional efforts to allow reimportation. Barack Obama co-sponsored one such proposal in the Senate. He also said during his presidential campaign that he wanted to, quote, let Medicare negotiate for lower prices, end quote, on drugs. White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, when he was in Congress, he was also a big champion of reimportation. Yeah. But now, after their successful battle against reimportation, these two are expected to fight off a similar legislative effort to allow Medicare to negotiate for lower drug prices. No, we'll have none of that. No. Milbank writes, even before the vote came, it had become clear that Obama's aides had the votes to kill the proposal that Senator Obama once co-sponsored. Senator Dorgan, on the verge of losing another reimportation battle, raised his voice as he pleaded with colleagues. He said, quote, the pharmaceutical industry has a lot of clout. I know that. I hope the American people have the ability to expect some clout on their behalf in the chamber of the United States Senate, end quote. Byron, psst, sit down. Really? Be quiet. So last night's tally wasn't even close. The drug companies won with 9 votes to spare. Jesus. So when this is one of the reasons that, you know, it's very easy and logical to look at the whole argument about health insurance reform like so much bat crap, especially when you have the administration, the Obama administration, that will not even rein in some of the Democrats who have really been turned into street whores, no offense to sex workers, by the pharmaceutical industry. He won't even do that. We'll be right back. About 25 before the hour, there was an article in the New York Times today. I don't know if you saw it. It was on the front page. Let me synopsize what was written. I've said for years that the Arbitron rating system is a bunch of hog snot. It's a system that was put into effect, I don't know, back in the 60s or something, to rate radio stations. And it was based on voluntary record keeping and diaries, and people get a $5 bill when they got the book and $5 later. But it was a crappy system for a number of reasons. According to Arbitron itself, problems with the Arbitron system have been numerous. People's recollection was imperfect. If they listened to a station briefly, they would forget it. They might overstate listening to stations that they felt reflected better taste. So what Arbitron has come up with, see, they're talking about their own system. And what they've come up with is so-called portable people meters. Yeah, I know. That sounds like some kind of a sex toy, but it's not. Portable people meters. And what they're finding in using these things now is that the whole radio industry has been a goddamn lie for nobody knows how long. This is something I've been bitching about for years. I remember when I got replaced here at WSB in Atlanta way back in 94, 95 by Dr. Laura. And I wrote an op-ed column for the Journal Constitution that, you know, bitched and whined and moaned about being fired and replaced by a psychopathic freak like Laura Schlesinger. And in that column, I pointed out that Arbitron was a joke, a hoax, and a myth, and so on and so forth. A lot of people wrote in after that letters to the editor that said Malloy's a sorry, whining, left-wing, hair-twisting, thumb-sucking liberal. Ignore him. He got fired because he doesn't have any ratings, which was absolutely not the case. Even though I had great ratings, it was all garbage. Everything about Arbitron is garbage. Now, all Arbitron does is set advertising rates. That's the whole function of it, is to let the stations know how much they can charge. The people on radio, the talent, so to speak. God, I hate to use that word. If they get a good rating in a book, they come out every quarter. If they get a good rating, you know, they walk around like their poop doesn't stink. If they get a bad rating, they bitch and moan and say, well, that's because all the books went to the Mexicans, you know. It's just the way it is in radio. I've been there. I've ridden that wave and been almost sucked under by that wave for 22 years. But during that time, it was very clear. It's very clear to anybody inside radio that the whole system sucks. Well, Arbitron now is finally saying the whole system sucks. And the reason this is important to me is because people like Rush Limbaugh, who claim 20 million listeners every week, that's a goddamn lie. It always has been a lie. Always. Hannity that claims, I don't know, what's his claim? 14 million. That's a lie. It's a goddamn lie. Always has been a lie. And the biggest purveyors of these lies is Talkers Magazine that's run by somebody who changed his name to Michael Harrison. I have no idea what his name was before he changed it. But he makes his money by selling advertising to these networks and syndicators and stations and personalities. And nobody pays any attention to that stuff. The only people that read Talkers Magazine are people in the industry. Nobody reads that. And as far as making programming decisions based on advertising in Talkers Magazine, that's kind of a joke. My company said, the company that, I have a couple of business partners, and they insisted, let's put an ad in Talkers Magazine. I said, no, I don't want to do it. Well, they prevailed because, you know, I do this part of it. They do the business part of it. And it was just money down the toilet because nobody pays any attention to Talkers Magazine except people who sit there and say, oh, is my name in there? Am I in there? But all of a sudden, it was important enough. It was on the front page, all right, below the fold, but it was on the front page of today's New York Times that Arbitron is more or less admitting that the entire system that has been used to make or break people on the radio, the entire system that has been used to set advertising rates in radio, the entire system sucks and always has. And now they're finally admitting it. Arbitron. Now, regardless of the problems I've had with program directors and general managers at radio stations and syndicators and so on and so forth, even they would admit that it was a bogus system. If I would get, like in Chicago, so many times in Chicago, my program at night would be rated in the top three or four. And that's a market with something like 40 radio stations. And, you know, I used to look at that and think, yeah, okay, well, whatever. And so did management. The only time management really cared whether or not any of their people on the air got into that number one slot or number two or number three was for the programs that were on during the day, because those are the ones where the ad rates are high. When you do a program like mine at night, the ad rates plummet. Not because we don't have an audience, but simply because, well, there's no reason. After 7 o'clock at night, that's the way it's been.
After 7 o'clock at night, it doesn't count.
Why?
Lost to antiquity. I don't know.
So anyway, I just, you know, it's inside radio crap, and I just wanted to toss it out because I've been talking about this for a long time, and I think I've even mentioned on this program a couple of times. So Arbitron rating system has announced, at least the New York Times has announced, that Arbitron says their system is a bunch of horse crap. And now they're trying these, what are they called, personal people meters? Portable people meters. I swear to God, it sounds like something you would see on a pornographic website. Here, get a portable people meter. It's really fun. And what this does, it monitors people who are listening to the radio through some system. I have no idea. I don't know how they're doing it. Talk radio's market is not what Arbitron has been trying to tell people, advertisers. It is. And it's just astonishing to me. I'm so glad to see this happen. I wish I could get into the Wayback Machine and go back to all those little pricks that wrote that nasty stuff when I left WSB for the second time in Atlanta and just say, see, I told you. See, do you ever feel that way? Wouldn't you like to make a trip back in time and be able to tell all these bastards that really irritated you when you were trying to tell them the truth?
And they said, I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I don't want no goddamn truth.
And just say, see, there you go. They still,
well, Jesus didn't say it.
Oh, okay. Kathy in Green Bay, mentions all these sons of bitching senators who voted no against the Drug Reimportation Act were happy to vote for it several years ago when there wasn't a chance in hell that Bush would sign it. And she writes, the damned hypocrites. Yeah, they are that. Oh, my, excuse me. Okay, the announcement is after an awful lot of hard work and intense focus. I have a book that's going to be coming out fairly soon. I'm not sure yet of the release date. Reams and reams and reams of copy have gone to my editor. You all know my editor, Bob Alexander in Seattle, who has been working his ass off trying to take this enormous amount of stuff that that we've collected and that I've written and put it into some kind of coherent form. Because when I start writing, it's kind of like a non-literary Vonnegut. I just slide all over in time. I have no idea. And Bob Alexander, who's become almost an associate, for God's sake, has been working now for how long, Kathy? A couple of months doing this? It's been a couple of months. I think he had probably, I don't know, 500,000 words. It was just enormous. The average novel is what, 250,000 words. So, God only knows what he's how close he's getting. But to having something in a form that the publisher will say, oh, okay. Now the process, of course, once Bob is finished with this enormous editing job that he's had, then the finished product will come to me and there will be more editing, then back to him and more editing and so on and so forth. But it's coming sooner rather than later. And I just wanted to mention it because we're going to count on the sales of this book to really boost the program to where it needs to go. And it's very infrequent. I know Hartman writes a book a month, but you know, he's too smart. I mean, Hartman writes for people who are really, really, I don't know, college professors and people. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, Hartman is, I guess, more well-read than I am. Certainly not guess. He certainly is. He's more well-read than I would ever hope to be. Hartman is an intellectual. I'm not. I'm kind of a street fighter type. So anyway, this book is coming. And it's coming fairly quickly now. So send me an email. Tell me what you think. And you people that want to write to me and say, oh, stick the book up your ass. You know, spare me. Don't act like a four-year-old, even though that's what you enjoy doing the most. But if you really think it's a good idea, and if you'll buy a copy, not that I'm going to hold you to it, send me an email real quick. We'll be right back. I gotta go by what he told me. Try to tell the truth and stand your ground. Don't let the bastards get you down.
To Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Holy cow, all 36 of our listeners are saying, yeah, they'll buy a copy. Maybe. Depends on where the job market is, right? It's already written. It's not, this is not like, oh, I think I'll write a book. It's already written. It's just so, enormous and awkward and kind of like we do this program. It's screaming, it's kind of an answer to all these rat bastards who, have been screwing everything up. I'm not a philosopher. I'm not, a literary giant, but, I can kick ass and take names, just as well as you can. And, that's what we're about. Part of it. I mean, yeah, I know we should build things up instead, but I believe in kicking down the fences and kicking open the gates and burning all the signs and just telling people to go screw themselves. You know, I can't do nice anymore. I can't write something that, that is all sweetness and light and offers solutions. I am of the opinion that the solutions available to us right now are fairly limited. They begin with recognizing the kind of global climate catastrophe we're facing, and everything flows from that. This other horse crap that's going on, like in the U.S. House and Senate, it's a sideshow. It's a bunch of freaks in a funhouse. That's all it is. Of course, they're killing us, but it's still freaks in a sideshow. But this is probably, book is not going to be published by one of Murdoch's imprints. It's not going to be heavily promoted by, Murdoch the way, all the right-wing books are. It'll sell. I'm pretty sure it'll sell. You don't get that many books out there by liberals that are written from the gut. I've read, I know Hartman has about 30 of them in print. I think I've read two. I love Tom Hartman like a brother, but I just can't, I mean, enough with the history and this and that. Okay. Somebody sent me a couple of people sent emails, when was it, a week or so ago, that Hartman actually had said the word hell on his program. And, you know, the last time that occurred, a star appeared in the east, according to these people. So, you know, I don't write that way. I write pretty much the way I do this program. And, well, you know, now this, the reason I'm mentioning this again, you'll notice that my blogs have disappeared from MikeMalloy.com. Kathy has been doing the writing. And the reason I've not been writing blogs is because, you know, I get focused on something like this and it's pretty hard to do anything else. I'm just not a parallel processor. I can't do two things at once. I have to sit down if I'm going to chew a piece of gum. It's that bad. So, anyway. It's written. It's being, I'm sure, Bob is going to, eliminate probably 40 or 50% of it. Which is the reason he's the editor. You know, every actor needs a director. Every writer needs an editor. You know how that goes. I edit the hell out of Kathy's stuff when she writes these blogs that she's been writing. Not for substance by any means, but because she has her own voice, she says what she wants to say. But, you know, for grammar, you don't pay too much attention to grammar and punctuation when it's just, you know, coming out of you like that. So, but this is not a ghostwritten book. I think every other book, every book from the right wing is written by somebody else. I will guarantee you that every single word in this book will have come right out of my head onto the page. There may be a little bit in there that Kathy has written. We contributed to an Air America book years ago that never went anywhere. They never paid us for it. Those sons of bitches still owe me over $100,000. Air America, my ass. Don't even go there. But this is something that a lot of folks have been saying, why don't you write a book? And the answer to that, of course, is it's too much work. That's always been the answer. It's, oh, God, it's too much work. I don't get enough sleep. I got a 5-year-old. You know, at some point, you got to just get over that and just do it. So it's been done. And again, if you think it's a good idea, I can't wait to read what the little piss ants will send to me. You know, like, I wouldn't use your book for anything except toilet paper. Which is okay. Just buy a copy. You know, I don't care what you do with it. Stick it in your nose. I don't care. But let me know if you think it's not that it's a good idea. Like I said, it's done. But let me know if you would consider consider buying. It's not going to be expensive. I don't know if we're going to come out in hardcover or you know, big paperback. I'm not sure yet, but it depends on, I guess it depends on the publisher, what they think the traffic will bear. So anyway. All right, we have a break here coming up very quickly. When we come back, we're going to take some phone calls. And I got a bunch of emails here that I do want to share with you, and a couple other things that caught my eye today about Holy Joe Lieberman wants people to die, and the Senate and White House leadership are pretty much okay with that. This is something Nicole Bell wrote at Crooks and Liars today. A whole bunch of stuff. I don't know if we'll get to it all, but we will get your phone calls, too. The number here is 877-996-2556. So you're excused now. We'll be back in about 9 minutes. That gives you plenty of time to go fix a cheese sandwich or whatever. I'm Mike Malloy. If you missed it, I'll just make it brief. I have a book coming out fairly soon. We don't have an exact publishing date yet because Bob Alexander in Seattle is still working on the editing because I sent him too much. And it's up to him to slice and dice. And but soon, very, very, very soon, this will be ready to roll. And we're hoping that people will buy it. It's, well, why else do you write a book? But I gave Bob too much stuff. I gave him enough material for probably two books, and he doesn't want two books. He wants one. It's a little easier to work with material for one. So it was kind of overwhelming. That's it. Again, just by way of explanation, that's one of the reasons that we haven't had a Radio Gumshoe lately. It's one of the reasons that we haven't had a Malloy blog. This has been pretty pretty focused, pretty intense, and pretty unnerving, frankly. as far as Radio Gumshoe, I think now there's going to be another one, what, on the Christmas show? Next week? I think next week. And I may start writing, blogs again at some point, but you know, this is, somebody told me it's like, you know, giving birth. You just have to kind of stick with this for the whole time, the writing time, the editing time, the screaming at each other time. And I am lucky that I have a good editor, in Bob Alexander. A lot of people who write books, it goes to a publishing house or an agent who you don't know and who doesn't know you. And the function of that person is just to red pencil stuff right out of the book for no apparent reason. Sometimes they edit for space, brevity, yada, yada, yada. Bob Alexander, on the other hand, who is an excellent writer in his own right, as you all know, because you've heard me read his stuff for the past couple of years on this program, But it takes, I've always believed it takes a good writer to be a good editor. You can't edit your own stuff, but if you're a good writer, you can edit somebody else. And Bob Alexander is an excellent writer. So, I haven't seen, the result yet of, what he's, moved around or sliced and diced and how the chapters are set up and so on and so forth. I trust him up this point. If he screws up, I'll never buy his coffee again. But, anyway. So just, you know, if you're at all, supportive of the idea and would consider buying a copy, send me a quick email. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Just, hell yeah, I'll do it. And, show a little love. All right. To your phone calls. Perez is in Santa Rosa, California, listening on Green 960. Hey, Perez.
Hi, Mike. I'm really glad to hear you. I'm hearing myself a little echo here. So
yeah, I know. It's is that better?
I have my radio off. Oh, that's much better.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't need to be my own noise machine. Anyway, I'm really proud of you. I think it's a great effort. And you know what they say about writing? I know some writers and stuff, and it's like, it's not unlike, there's a lot of mystery and a mystique around it, but I think some of it can be cut away saying that once you start writing, you have to work at it. You have to get up in the morning and start writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really do. I get that. Listen to me telling you.
Well, that's very true. It is very true. And, it's a real process because if you haven't had a lot of therapy, and I have had a lot of therapy. If you haven't had a lot of therapy, you start writing a book of any sort, you'll probably have a nervous breakdown.
Oh, I agree. I think it's kind of like fasting. You got to be careful. If you got so much poison in you, a fast can almost kill you.
that's very true.
Anyway, I called. You inspired me, and I managed to glean some positive affirmation of what you were talking about Obama and stuff. But first, I want to say that I agree with you. These so-called Christians. Oh, God, I hope they're right. I hope there is a hell, because they're going to beat us there, Mike.
Oh,
they
man.
Will beat us there.
You know, I cannot get my mind around praying for the destruction of an attempt to bring health insurance to 50 million people who desperately need it. I don't get this.
Yeah.
Now, not that I agree with what the House and the Senate and the Obama administration have done with the idea. I agree with Bernie Sanders and Howard Dean. Dean is the point, says kill it. Bernie Sanders tried to introduce an amendment to all this mess, making it single payer. You know, I side with those guys, but I cannot believe that something that is a pure giveaway. See, this is how you know that it's all politics and insanity, because the way this thing's written now, it's a gold mine for the health insurance industry.
Yep.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. No, I could talk about that for hours. I'm in the industry. But anyway, not in that industry, not in the insurance industry.
Oh,
but
yeah. Okay.
I would say this. It made me think, these people, I want to ask some of these people, the climate deniers especially, I'm hearkening to what you said a minute ago. That is the overarching issue that's going to be looked at.
It is.
If there's any history in the future, if there is a future, that's going to be looked at as the hallmark event. And here's the one I want to ask those people. Two questions. Do you think your money's going to protect you, and don't you care about what happens to your children?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
These bastards. I mean, they just make my blood boil. And when we were playing Dennis Kucinich, it had me crying almost, Mike. You know?
Yeah.
It almost had me crying. But I want to say one thing about Obama. I think he can be influenced by that argument. If you're really a Christian man, you know in your heart what you're doing is wrong, murdering these people. But I would say the positive affirmation is this about Obama. I'm trying to hurry because I know you have callers, and I want to take up too much time, Mike. But I would say this. Obama proves that we've moved beyond racism, because he can be just as evil as the bloated white parasites we think he replaced.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to think the same thing.
I'm sorry, but no. He's either a coward or he's just a shill.
I hear you.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. You and Kathy, keep up the good work, and I'm looking forward to the book.
All right, thanks, Briz.
Okay.
All right, man, take care. Yeah, I hate to say that about Obama. I think primarily because it in my own head, it makes me look like a fool. And I hate it when I do things that make me look like a fool. Like I said, I had a friend who, all during the campaign, for, you know, the run-up. What do we have, about 2 years, a year and a half of it? My friend has been murdered. He was murdered in a suburb of Chicago. I don't know that it's been solved yet. It was just a crime of violence. He was shot dead. But he was an activist. He was a real lefty, not a faux left-winger. He was a real lefty. And if it's possible to scream at somebody through an email, he screamed an awful lot at me about, you know, what I was doing supporting Obama. And I kept telling him that I was supporting Kucinich, but that being a Democrat, once the primaries were over, I would have to support the Democratic candidate. And of course, he just, and nothing I didn't know, it's just that he just pounded me, until finally I had to say to him, I'm going to ask you to stop sending me these emails. And I've known this guy since we were in Chicago. And he did. He stopped sending the emails. And then I got an email about 7 or 8 months ago. I guess it's been that long, from his, well, widow now, who told me that he'd been murdered in a robbery. And she and their two kids were just, they still were reeling with the horror of this. It occurred, she wrote me the email a day or two after it had happened. But I remember what he said over and over and over again and again and again. You can't support just another corporatist. It doesn't make any difference if he has a D. You've got to understand this. You're going to be so let down, blah, blah, blah. And he was right. And he was right. And not having had a chance to talk with him and say, look, you know, I know you're right. And, you know, I've come around on that issue. It, you know, it leaves a real sense of loss for me in my tiny world.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Email here from Tom in Joshua Tree. It's pretty intense. Which I certainly don't mind intensity, but this is pretty intense. Subject line is what I've come to. He writes, "Hi, Mike. I recall the Stupak Amendment that flushed the Christian rats from their nests. All the bishops and deacons who made it clear that a congressman's first obligation was to religion, not their country. Then comes Lieberman. This is what I've come to understand. Religion is the enemy of humanity, of democracy, and of all life in general. I understand that you do not include the Jews in all this monstrous lobotomy of the American psyche and policy because they, the Jews, do not mount wholesale world slaughter. But believe me, if they had 300 million members, they'd be right up there with the big boys when it comes to violence and vicious greed. My point is that monotheism is the enemy. Monotheists demand hell and death in order to make their fantasy and delusions of heaven halfway palatable. What the corporations have not yet done to America, American monotheists will. The monotheists know that there can be no God but their God, and all things good and worthy must be sacrificed to this God of theirs, the Constitution, law, art and literature, healthy environment, education, and now even the health of their own and their fellow Americans. Goodbye, e pluribus unum, and hello, in God we trust." So that's what I will be doing from this point on, working wholeheartedly to rid my country of these religious vermin, because Democrat or Republican, the monotheist is and always will remain a patriarchal, warmongering, life-killing ignoramus. There is no other battle. It's worse than the race war, because monotheism is not only the bedrock of slavery, but it is the very foundation of inhumanity, madness, and death. Just like no truth can come from a lie, so too no reality can emerge from the monotheist delusion. It is pneumonia, smallpox, polio, and malaria, all rolled into one, except that monotheism still and always will kill more than any disease ever will or ever could. I'll fight to uproot them and destroy their delusions anywhere I meet them, in the marketplace, in writing, at the post office, on the phone, on the bus, in art, and in the grocery line. I fully understand we will win every battle, but eventually we'll lose the war, simply because we are so outnumbered and outdumbed. Reason and rationality will become as obsolete and irrelevant in our country as reading and writing already has become. The Christians, Jews, Muslims, and all other monotheists will win, because all they need to prove their point is a whip, a knife, a gun, bomb, and Bible. Our country's lost, but our cause is not lost in the world. I live for that world and fight for the generations to come, so that when the question is asked, why didn't they stand up and fight? Our voices and efforts will be there to say, we tried. Thanks for sharing, explicating, encouraging, and keeping it lit. Tom in Joshua Tree, California. Well, I certainly agree with that. You know, the religious imperative, though, is so embedded that even railing against it can give you the creeps if you're not used to doing it. It's so embedded. Not just here, but every place. But when I see something like I saw tonight, well, I didn't actually see it. Kathy, or somebody sent me an email, said they were doing this prayer meeting in the Senate, of the House of Representatives. When I see that, when you see these religious people, all Christians, who would beat women to a pulp, who would deny women, the right to privacy, they are patriarchal, just like Tom said, they're patriarchal psychopaths. They really are. And the other two peoples of the book are the same. They are. If you're a Jew or a Muslim, excuse me, but I just, you know what your religion's all about. You know what the heart of the teaching is. I don't care how many times Muslims, Christians, or Jews talk about, it's love your neighbor and, so on and so. Oh, hog snot. Please. I've attended enough churches and mosques and synagogues, not so many mosques, but churches and synagogues to know I know what the preaching's about, and I know what the so-called holy texts of these religions are about. And I also realize that I occasionally will beat this topic to death on this program. But as Tom points out, you tell me one other thing in the history of the human race, up to and including this very moment, that has caused so much hatred and distrust and mistrust and dissension and fear and loathing and murder and mayhem and wars and invasions and death and poison and disease and sickness than religion. Science hasn't done that. Philosophy hasn't done that. Poetry hasn't done that. Art hasn't done that. Theater hasn't done that. Politics hasn't done that. We'll be right back.
I'm begging you to stay out of my way, 'cause everybody likes you, babe, but me.
Passarinho na mão, pedra de atiradeira. Um ave no céu, um ave. jogado no chão. É um regado, é uma fonte, um pedaço de pão. Fundo do poço, fim do caminho. No rosto um desgosto, é um pouco sozinho. É um estrepe, é um prego, é uma ponta, é um ponto. Pingo, pingando, é uma conta, é um conto. É um peixe, é um gesto, é uma prata brilhando. É a luz da manhã, tijolo chegando, lenha de...
More flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
Keep. 25 before the hour. Where are we? We're right here. Mike is in San Diego. You're listening on KTLK in San Diego?
Yes, yes. I got to get it through the internet. It used to be.
Oh, you're streaming. I was going to say, man, they must have really boosted up their signal.
Well, you know, it's too bad we don't get. We used to have you on the air.
I know.
And the corporate criminals and thugs at Smear Channel that, you know, deigned to take that station, the late great KLSD, off the air. So
what did that become? Sports?
Yeah, all sports, and it's got horrible ratings, Mike. And
you had a guy on that station, a local guy, who was excellent. I don't know why.
A.C. Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know why he was not national. He was, whatever happened to him?
Well, he is unemployed and still looking for work.
Jesus.
In the industry, and he's kind of been blackballed because, like yourself, Mike, he kind of worked, you know, the progressive side of the street, and, you know,
yeah.
Even though if you're a right-wing blowtard, you can get a job anywhere.
Sure.
Even if you're a talented, excellent announcer like Stacy or yourself, or professional, an excellent advocate for the people's interest,
mm-hmm.
Well, then you're marginalized and put on hardly any stations. You can't get distribution.
That's true. That's
and it's an absolute fraud, and it's part of what these right-wing
Bastards.
Seize this country.
Yeah.
They use that big sound machine to reinforce their propaganda, to get out there that, you know, that endless warfare is somehow bringing democracy, to have a poverty draft in America, to ship America's poor young sons and daughters
mm-hmm.
to the other side of the earth to fight poor tribesmen's sons and daughters for what they do not know.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, for health care reform to be basically an insurance industry bailout. For these corporate criminals to get up there and tell us that, oh, you know, it's really going to cover 30 million people, but if you don't buy this crappy product, we're going to have the IRS penalize you and criminalize you, and we're going to pass a regressive policy, even though you thought for a progressive candidate. It was not change that you could believe in. It was change that you were deceived into. And what it is it's just the insidious corporate criminality, the commoditization of everything in American life. There's no public space in America. There's only commercial and private space.
Yeah, and that is really starting to bug the hell out of me, too. Mike, let me move on. I want to get some more on here. I appreciate what you had to say. If you ever run into Stacy Taylor, tell him that, you know, we were big fans of his. What a shame. 877-996-2556 is the number. Got a couple open lines here. Cam is in Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I look forward to receiving your book, believe me.
Oh, thanks.
I'm a little sick right now, so I apologize. But in regard to Tom from Joshua Tree, California.
Yeah, yeah.
I can sum that whole email up in one phrase. It's the dogma. Stupid.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that should be a T-shirt. I wish I could afford to have it made.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I called about health care and Joe Lieberman, who is probably going to cause me to have a heart attack. I paid $351 a month for health insurance. I was diagnosed with asthma
mm-hmm.
last week, and my insurance company won't cover my daily asthma medication, which is $132 a month.
Did they tell you why?
It's not on the formulary. And I'm now paying $483 a month. I've got a $500 deductible and 20% coinsurance, which means I'm 20% responsible for everything. I was told by when I had an asthma attack, I didn't know what was happening, and I was told that by the paramedics I was having a heart attack. I was rushed to the hospital. I have a $6,000 emergency room bill for asthma, and this is just, I want to tell you this not to whine, but to tell the Republicans that are listening to your program, and I know they do, look, this is real. I only make $40,000 a year. How am I going to pay for this? I'm sick, and I'm scared, and I've had it, and I was a huge Obama supporter. I canvassed for him, and I can't believe this is coming down to one single whore, Joe Lieberman. I saw my doctor today who's also happens to be Jewish, and he told me, he said, this guy is the biggest prick I've ever known. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is our situation. I'm not alone.
No, you're not. You're absolutely not alone.
And I'm terrified. I'm going to be buried. I'm a homeowner. They can lien my house or do whatever, but how the hell am I going to pay for that? And I'm already paying almost $400 a month for an insurance policy that is a ghost.
Yeah.
And, Mike, I'm sorry. I don't mean to whine, but I just want
No, I don't think anyone listening considers it whining, Cam. I certainly don't. It's a very real situation. And in this country, to have so many millions of us who have the situation that you have and other people have, I've been in that situation before. I can't understand that we have billions upon billions upon billions for war and death and destruction, but
exactly.
Just for simple health care for our own people.
Exactly. People that pay their taxes and work.
Yeah.
And,
no, you're not whining. You're not whining at all.
No, I'm just absolutely terrified. And I wrote a letter, like it's going to do any good, to Senator. My senators are McCain and Kyle.
Oh, my God.
I mean, can you imagine the futility in that?
Well, yeah, you ought to see the two I've got.
Well, that's true. I'm not in Georgia, but
right.
You know what? I'm about two clicks away.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I thank you for listening to me.
Sure.
And I wish you and Kathy and Molly and your family a beautiful holiday.
Well, thanks, Cam. And just take it easy. Oh, listen.
Hey.
My son, Chris, who is now 31, he had asthma as a result of he was slightly premature, and it dogged him all through his childhood. He went on to become an EMT and a firefighter, and now he's in nursing school. But
well, I happen to work for union lawyers for the fire department.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, one of the things that I've recently found out, when you feel those asthma attacks, or just not an attack, but the tightness in your chest.
Oh, yeah.
Most of what we've been told is to, you know, breathe deeply. But there is a new theory, and I've asked Chris to try it. When you feel the tightening, not necessarily
yes.
attack, but you feel that tightening,
yes.
breathe rapidly and in shallow breaths.
You're kidding.
No, not panting, but similar to it. And the reason it said, this was in, I think it was in the New York Times science section a couple of weeks ago. The reason you do that is part of the asthma attack is the buildup in your lungs and bronchioles of carbon dioxide. You're not expelling, you're not exhaling the way you should, and that causes the tightening, that causes that panicky feeling.
It is a very panicky feeling.
Right. So the theory is, I don't have asthma, but the theory is if you, instead of the deep breaths, as you dig and dig and dig to get oxygen,
you want that,
right.
And you're not getting it.
Do it rapid breathing, and not deep, just rapid breathing. That will expel a lot of the carbon dioxide. Now, I walk 4 or 5 miles a day, and sometimes I take weights, and I can get pretty winded doing that. And I've been trying that out on the walking trail, and it seems to work. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm not asking you to do something that's going to cause you to get worse. You know, I'll hear from your lawyer in 2 weeks.
Hey,
she tried what you said and she's dead. No, no, you know, but the next time, you know, just try it. Just the rapid, not panting. There's a difference. I'm not talking about that. Yeah, rapidly and shallow breathing and rapid, and it may work.
Well, I'll tell you, I was 150 points clear below the base, so it was not good news.
No, it wasn't.
I certainly appreciate the advice.
All right.
I'm new to this.
All right. Well, listen, you have a happy holiday, too, okay?
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Cam. Take care. Take care. I hope that's okay. Is it okay to say that over the air? I've read it. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's not medical advice. It just, but seriously.
Just keep repeating that. It's not
medical advice.
I am not a physician.
I am not a physician. But I've tried it.
Don't take me seriously.
I've tried it out on that damn trail when, you know, I'm, walking to stay alive. Well, you know what I mean. And you get that, you start to get that. Well, don't. Just take shallow, deep, or shallow, rapid breaths, and you never know. We'll be right back. Before the hour, thanks to the crew, Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, economic affairs correspondent. Bruce must be on vacation or something. Come to think of it, I haven't gotten anything from him for a few days. Kate Petrini, education affairs correspondent, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, who handle the ethical advice when it's needed to this program, and Kathy Bay, who is the program's engineer and also the executive producer. Jimmy is driving in Kansas, listening on XM. Hey, Jimmy.
What's up, Mike?
You are.
Yeah, I am. Wait a minute. Hey, first time caller. Love your show. Love what you guys do.
Well, thank you.
Anyway.
Now, remember, you're listening on XM, but we do over the air, so watch your language.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I know. You XM and Sirius people, I have to remind you every once in a while. I don't blame you. I get pretty mouthy. I get pretty profane on this program, but there's a line that we're not allowed to cross, and I hate to end a phone call because of an F-bomb or you know,
yeah.
Something like that. So that's all. Just like, you know, heads up.
Okay. I've done a lot of things in my life. I got 11 years in the Army. I've worked for contractors during Iraq too. And, I'm running my own business now. I have been for about 11 years.
Uh-huh.
I think the problem is real simple. What's been going on? The insurance companies, after 8 years of Bush, that was the final nail in the coffin for everybody.
Yeah.
They were getting ready to go out of business, man. They're getting ready to go out of business because nobody could afford their product anymore. So they went to their corporate spokesman. We don't have a government anymore. What we've got is corporate spokesman up there.
You got that right.
And they said, hey, you're going to have to pass a law. Now, it's kind of ironic that if you look at the middle class and lower, if you look at their tax returns at the end of the year, that's exactly what the insurance companies are asking for. So they found the money they needed, and they're getting ready to pass a law to get it.
I think you're right. Well, the tax return plus.
Yeah. Now, the people of America, if I can say something to them, they're going to have to take a look at what our grandfathers and what our fathers and mothers had to do in the past to get what they needed done to keep a nation under their feet. Because we're getting ready to lose a nation. Is what's getting ready to happen. they're going to have to stop what they're doing, slow down. I almost cussed then. Slow down and march on Washington. That's what we're going to have to do. That's it. Nothing's ever been done until the people got mad enough to make it happen. So we can slowly starve to death, or we can finally say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do without a meal now and walk up there and make ourselves be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Put religion aside. Get religion out of it. Open your mind and take a real look at what's going on and realize we don't have a government anymore. We've got corporate spokesmen. That's what we've got.
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman, he has nothing to worry about. Even if he gets voted out, he's got a job making 10 times more than he's making now. That's why he did what he did.
Well, you know, I, again, last night we tried to figure it out, and the idea that Lieberman is, with help from the person who wrote the article, Robert Perry, Lieberman is more interested in cutting the legs out from Obama where it concerns Israel than he is in making sure Americans get health insurance, no matter how weak a health insurance bill would be. Lieberman is an absolute Zionist, as a lot of, well, Perry only quoted one, very prominent Jew in America has said that their man in the Senate, beyond anybody else, is Joe Lieberman. And what adds, insult to injury, Lieberman would do anything to ensure the survival of the state of Israel that has single payer health care. but here, you see, Holy Joe is not going to allow it in this country. That's the part that is so infuriating. But the idea that Lieberman does this for his ego, or Lieberman does it because he's on the pad for these insurance companies back in Connecticut, Perry says, no, that's a little bit too small time. What Lieberman is doing is trying to make sure that Barack Obama's power is totally wasted on this health insurance thing, so that when it comes time to put pressure on Netanyahu and the Likud government in Israel, that he just won't have the political capital to do it. Hey, Jimmy, I got to move on. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. All right. Drive safe. Michael is in New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. Congratulations, by the way, on being picked up by so many local radio stations around the country.
Well, yeah, if we can just get back into New York, where we'd love to be, but, two chances of that happening.
Oh, well. I heard what you were saying about, swearing off the Democratic Party, and mm-hmm. I agree with you. I am there. As a matter of fact, you mentioned you were ready to vote for the Green Party or the Socialist Workers Party. I think, personally... Well, they're both okay. I kind of prefer the Green Party to the Socialist Workers, but the real thing.
Well, wait. Let me just qualify something. You know, I haven't said Socialist Workers Party. I don't know that much about them. They
you
sound.
Say that, or you didn't say that.
No, I did not say that.
I thought you did.
What I said is a Democratic Socialist. There is a difference. I think.
Right.
Socialist
right.
Workers Party.
Trotskyist, I must admit.
Yeah,
they're not my first choice.
They tend towards that Russian style of almost communism, which I don't like. But Democrats...
Well, they're sort of crazy, too. You know, I don't go for the Greens, but I'll tell you, the real thing is people have to put in the work that it takes to build the Green Party, because the Green Party is like nowhere. And frankly, I think Nader did a tremendous disservice to everybody when he ran for president on the Green Party ticket. Because, let's face it, a Green Party candidate isn't going to become president in the next years. At least he could have gone for a congressional
seat, and there
he would have had a real impact.
Yeah,
that's where they have to target the Congress.
That's true. I wouldn't go so far as to say that they'll never have... a president of the United States, but it's going to take a lot of work. Hey, Michael, I got to leave it there, pal. We're flat out of time. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
When did your life's